Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
An-naqi means the pure, the immaculate, the clean. Al-hadi means the guide. All the imams came for guidance.
As-salamu alaykum ya ahla bayt al-nubuwa wa mawdha' al-risala wa mukhtalaf al-malaik.
Peace be upon the directors of right guidance, the lanterns in darkness, the patterns of piety. This is Dialogue, an introduction into the most important dialogues and conversations of Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam was the pure direct descendant of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. He was the 10th divinely appointed successor. He was the 10th divinely appointed imam. He was the 10th divinely appointed trustee to the final Messenger of Allah, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. A great number of Muslims believed in the imama of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, and they found it obligatory upon them to follow and obey Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. A vast amount of legal dues and monies that must be given to the imam were carried to Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, as he was the financial epicenter of the Shia. And it was partly due to this financial leadership of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam that governmental investigators and policemen reported in detail to the Abbasid Caliph al-Mutawakkil. And so al-Mutawakkil Abbasi was the most bitter enemy of not only the Alawis and the followers of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, but he was a bitter enemy of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam himself. At this moment, we invite you to listen to parts of the Arabic text of Ziyarat Jamiatul Kabira by Imam Hadi alayhi salam, along with its English translation. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salamu ala a'immatil huda wa masabihit tuja wa a'lamit tuqa wa dawin nuha.
In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Peace be upon the directors of right guidance, the lanterns in darkness, the patterns of piety, the owners of understanding, the endued with thought, the havens of the peoples, the inheritors of the prophets, the perfect specimen, the most excellent call in the arguments of Allah against the inhabitants of the world, the hereafter and the former world. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon you all.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Welcome back. It's an honor and a blessing to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. So we're talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, of course, he lived in an era in which there was a lot of different theological and jurisprudential and philosophical debates amongst the Muslims. Now, on one hand, we find that the Abbasid Empire and the Abbasid Caliphs, they had a big hand in pushing forth this differentiation and this separation and this creation of different schools of theological, jurisprudential, and philosophical thought amongst the Muslims. Some historical analysts say that this was done in order to keep the Muslim masses busy in these matters so that the Abbasid caliphs could easily run their empire without any revolting or uprising on behalf of the Muslims. Now, there's an interesting dialogue that occurs between one of these companions of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam and His Eminence, the 10th divinely appointed Imam. And here we find that the conversation is dealing with the ability of a human being and how Allah the Almighty tries or examines or puts into examination the human being via the abilities that they have. And so what is really happening is that according to our ability and our capability and our capacity, Allah the Almighty is testing us and putting us into various kinds of examination. And so when talking about this idea of being tried or examined according to one's ability by the Almighty Allah, Imam al-Hadi brings forth a verse from the Holy Quran in this conversation. And he says that the Holy Word and the Holy Quran says, "And verily we shall try you till we know those of you who strive hard for the sake of Allah and the patient, and till we test your record." And so it's interesting here that Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, he speaks about this verse, saying that first and foremost, a human being goes through trials in this world. And the reason for the trials is sometimes, you know, something that we don't think about is why does the Almighty Allah put us into trials or puts us into this examination room, if you will. Well, this verse of the Holy Quran talks about that and answers that question, that why are we being tried? And so the Almighty Allah says that we are trying you so that we know those of you who strive hard, who will continue to strive, to struggle, to work for the cause of Allah, and those who won't. And of course, so that we know those who remain steadfast, those who have firm determination to be good human beings, and of course, those that are patient. You know, these are the reasons why we are tested. This is Dialogue, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
Imam Ali al-Hadi al-Naqi alayhi salatu wasalam. He is one of the Imams whom we consider to be the Shafa'a. They are the ones who have been given the right by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to intercede on our behalf. Keeping a story in mind, a very interesting one, where there was a person in Iraq by the name of Yusuf bin Yaqub from the area of Mosul during the days of Mutawakkil. And, of course, being a Christian minority, they used to interact with the Muslims on different levels, including business levels. And this is a narration by a family friend of Yusuf bin Yaqub, who says one day, this Yusuf bin Yaqub came to our home in Baghdad, and he became the guest of my father. They were good friends on family level. And he says, my father asked him, "What brings you to Baghdad?" And he says, "I have been summoned by Mutawakkil to go and see him." And Mutawakkil was a very tyrant ruler. Nobody wanted to go and see him. You know, so if you are summoned by Mutawakkil, then you really are concerned that there is some serious problems. He says, you know, I had no choice but to accept the invitation from Mutawakkil. But what I did was that inni ishtaraytu nafsi min Allah bi mi'ati dinar. I insured my life with Allah for 100 dinars. That Allah, I'm going to see a zalim, a tyrant. I don't know what will happen to me, so I would like to insure my life with you with 100 dinar. But who will get the premium? This is a Christian, remember. Where he says, إِنِّي اشْتَرَيْتُ نَفْسِ مِنَ اللَّهِ بِمِئَةِ دِينَارِ وَقَدْ حَمَلْتُهُ لِعَلِي بِن مُحَمَّدْ بِن رِزَى مَعِي. And I have carried that money with me with the intention of giving it to Ali bin Muhammad bin Rizā alayhi salatu wasalam. So he's ensuring his own life, ensuring that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he knows where to go and pay the premium. They are the shafa'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en Call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many other great programs as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
By continuing to arm the Zionist regime as it engineers a famine in Gaza, the U.S. regime is disregarding its own domestic law, which prohibits the provision of military assistance to states that block humanitarian aid provided by Washington. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for the second part, please. The Electronic Intifada wrote, Antonio Guterres, the UN Secretary General, has said he was deeply troubled by the reports on the Zionist regime's military use of artificial intelligence tools resulting in a high level of civilian casualties. The UN chief added, AI should be used as a force for good to benefit the world, not contribute to waging war on an industrial level, blaring accountability. Why the use of artificial intelligence would blur accountability is unclear, since human personnel are involved in the development, approval, and use of that technology. The Plus 972 story describes how Israeli personnel made it a policy to strike supposed targets when they were in their homes. One of the artificial intelligence systems used by the military for this purpose is called Where is Daddy? Thereby maximizing civilian casualties. The focus on the technology by which the child-killing regime of Israel is wiping out entire families in their homes serves to obscure that targeting civilians and civilian objects in order to instill terror in the population has been a feature of Israel's most recent major offensive in Gaza. Paul Bigger, founder of Tech for Palestine, said that the use of artificial intelligence should be viewed as a systematization of genocide. It creates the system by which mass murder is enabled and accomplished. Bigger explained that the AI programs used by the Zionist regime serve the exact same purpose as Nazi Germany's concentration camps. They allow Israel to kill automatically and systematically. Additionally, the Zionist regime's rationale for supposedly targeting fighters in their homes, if one isn't already convinced that maximizing civilian casualties is the true objective, is not permissible under international law. According to Itai Epstein, an international law expert, Israel cannot lawfully claim targeting on the basis of continuous combat function. The premise upon which it is attempting to legitimize the killing of Palestinian resistance fighters not directly participating in hostilities at the time. He added, Israel has automated the removal of rules governing a lawful attack, resulting in colossal harm to civilians and civilian infrastructure. Chris Gunness, a former journalist and past spokesperson for UNRWA, the UN Agency for Palestine Refugees, said that the use of the AI system, as revealed by the Plus 972 article, rips up the narrative that Israel has been killing so many civilians because Hamas uses human shields. That propaganda point is frequently trotted by the Zionist regime official and unofficial spokesperson and has even been parroted by Guterres, the UN Secretary General. Washington's willingness to provide arms and diplomatic cover for this situation has led some, including journalist Sam Husseini, to suspect that for parts of the U.S. establishment, the complete destruction or threat of that as a means of leverage of international law may be an actual goal, not a cost of Israel's genocide in Gaza. While professing to be outraged and heartbroken by the Zionist regime's killing of the world central kitchen personnel, Biden is not changing his policy of unconditional material support for its slaughter. A blatantly horrific and stupid mistake, one of his senior officials told Politico. The Biden administration is not only gutting the meaning of international law, but also the admittedly flawed institutions that are meant to uphold it. After nearly 6 months of genocide in Gaza, Washington finally allowed the UN Security Council to pass a resolution demanding an immediate ceasefire for the remainder of Ramadan after vetoing three previous resolutions. But as soon as the resolution was passed, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, the U.S. ambassador to the UN, claimed that it was non-binding. The Palestinian writer Samer Badawi observed, despite its baselessness, her remark was surely heard in the war rooms of Tel Aviv and Al-Quds. Badawi added, hours after the vote, Palestinians in Gaza reported an uptick in Israeli military attacks, including upon the masses who have sought shelter in the Strip's southern half. By continuing to arm the Zionist regime as it engineers a famine in Gaza, the U.S. regime is disregarding its own domestic law, which prohibits the provision of military assistance to states that block humanitarian aid provided by Washington. Humanitarian organizations operating in the territory have jointly stated that the humanitarian response in Gaza, including U.S.-funded humanitarian assistance, has been consistently and arbitrarily denied, restricted, and impeded by Israeli authorities. Anil Shalain, who recently resigned from her State Department post due to the Gaza genocide, said that her former employer's determination that the Zionist regime was compliant with U.S. and international law makes a mockery of the administration's claims to care about the law or about the fate of innocent Palestinians. The Biden administration will be remembered for abetting the child-killing regime of Israel's twisting of the meaning of international law, including conventions created in the wake of Nazi Holocaust in Europe, so that the industrial slaughter of human rights being would never be repeated. But the institutional complicity in the U.S. spans beyond Washington to the media, who have for decades dehumanized Palestinians and the resistance, universities who uttered no words of condemnation for the genocide in Gaza, to the medical associations that have been silent over the Zionist regime's destruction of Palestinian health infrastructure. The child-killing regime of Israel must be held accountable for its crimes in Gaza, where it has been rewarded with impunity before. The fabricated regime of Israel and complicit regimes in the West must pay reparations commensurate with the destruction, death, and harm inflicted on the Palestinian people, as Albanese states.
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio, welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem. Inshallah, today we will talk about two verses in Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 39 and Ayah 40, on page 85. Brothers and sisters, turn to page 85. Dear listeners, Ayah 39 and 40 of Surah An-Nisa. Let's everyone, first and foremost, at the very beginning, listen to the recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وماذا عليهم لو آمنوا بالله واليوم الآخر وأنفقوا مما رزقهم الله وكان الله بهم عليما إن الله لا يظلم مثقال ذرة وإن تك حسنة يضاعفها ويؤت من لدنه أجرا عظيما.
Amazing. Nice recitation, mashallah. Allah bless the reciter, inshallah. So, what does Allah Almighty say in these two verses? Very important. Very important point I have to mention here for you. Brothers and sisters, shortly we'll mention, then inshallah, the details, you yourself will move on today. Inshallah, the tafsir books, inshallah, learn there, okay? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وماذا عليهم لو آمنوا بالله واليوم الآخر وأنفقوا مما رزقهم الله وكان الله بهم عليما. Allah Almighty says a very beautiful thing. What harm would it have done them, okay, had they believed in Allah on the last day? What would have happened? What harm would have happened to them if they had believed in the Day of Judgment? it talks about the previous ayah. Look, in the previous ayah, Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ رِئَاءَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. There are people, okay, who like donate, but they don't care about Allah, they don't care about the Day of Judgment. They don't believe, actually. Okay, they don't believe. So, if they believed, yeah, they would do these things for the sake of Allah Almighty, yes? But they don't believe, so they don't care about Allah, so they don't do these things for the sake of Allah Almighty. So, Allah Almighty says, what if they believed? Would something bad happen to them? This is a very broad topic, okay? So, we shortly mention, so you can discuss it with the scholars. Look, Allah Almighty says, what harm would it have done them had they believed in Allah and the last day? وَأَنْفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَهُمُ اللَّهِ and spent out of what Allah has provided them, and also make the intention would be for Allah. What would have happened if the intention was for Allah Almighty? Yeah? وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِهِمْ عَلِيمًا Allah knows them well. For what? I'll raise a question. I want you, inshallah, to judge, okay? Okay, for what? Let's see. Look, I believe in the Day of Judgment. There is another person, he does not believe in the Day of Judgment. I donate, I help the poor for the sake of Allah Almighty. My intention is this. He as well helps, but not for the sake of Allah Almighty, okay? I do my prayers, he does not. I do my fasting, he does not. Okay? I follow the teachings, the rulings of Islam, but he doesn't. Now, suppose the Day of Judgment does not happen. Okay? Does not happen. It doesn't exist. After we, like, when we die, it's all over. Who is harmful here? Me or him? He didn't believe. I believed. Me? No one. No one. Not me, not him. Because he didn't believe, so of course, the Day of Judgment. Look, two cases. First, let's suppose that the Day of Judgment does not happen. It's not a fact. It doesn't exist.
Wait.
So nobody is harmful here, yes?
If you did the work with the intention of Allah, did it make you happy?
It made me happy. Yeah. I had a happy life.
So if he didn't do it for the sake of Allah, the person, and he felt happy.
Yeah, we both had our happiness in this world.
Yeah.
And we died, okay, so the Day of Judgment never happened. And he was right, and I was wrong, but I enjoyed my life, he also enjoyed
it. So the happiness...
Who is harmful now?
Mostly no one.
No one. But now, the next case. What if I did my prayers, I did everything, and he didn't? I believed in the Day of Judgment in Allah Almighty, he didn't. So the Day of Judgment happened. Who is harmful?
Him.
Him. So basically, yeah. You believe in the Day of Judgment, okay? Even if it doesn't happen, you have not been harmful. Okay? So Allah Almighty says this. وَمَاذَا عَلَيْهِمْ لَوْ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ What harm would have happened to them if they believed in the Day of Judgment? Huh? While the Day of Judgment is a fact. Nothing. So this is a question that we really, like, makes us think about it a bit. Okay, next point in the next ayah. Allah Almighty says in the next ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ وَإِن تَكُ حَسَنَةً يُضَاعِفْهَا وَيُؤْتِ مِن لَّدُنْهُ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا Allah Almighty never wrongs someone. Okay? Allah Almighty never disrespects someone's right. Look, if you have done a single good thing, Allah Almighty will give you the reward. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ Allah Almighty does not wrong anyone, even to the extent of an atoms of weight. Okay? وَإِن تَكُ حَسَنَةً And if it is a good deed, look, if you do a good deed, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالُهَا He will get 10 times rewards for that, for one action if you did take. Here also Allah Almighty says, وَإِن تَكُ حَسَنَةً يُضَاعِفْهَا Allah will double it, okay? The reward. If you do. Okay? If you do a single good thing, respect in this world as well, and the hereafter as well. وَيُؤْتِ مِن لَّدُنْهُ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا And Allah Almighty gives from Himself a great reward to that person.
قرآني نبض حياتي، قرآني طهر ذاتي، قرآني عصمة أمري، قرآني طوق نجاتي.
قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy. What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
Inshallah, I really want you, recommend you to refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, for details. Now, Fawad and Ali Nasir, if you're ready, let's mention some important tajweed rules, inshallah, then we'll move on. Ready?
Yes.
Okay, let's move on. Thanks for cooperation, though. وَمَاذَا عَلَيْهِمْ It really matters how you pronounce it, okay? How you pronounce what?
Dal.
Yeah, وَمَاذَا عَلَيْهِمْ So it really matters, okay? How you pronounce what?
ذال
ذال وماذا is wrong. وماذا and also the way you read this word. وماذا this is a questioning, okay? A question that really tells them to think about it. وماذا عليهم وماذا عليهم says what? What harms, okay, can affect you if you believe in the day of judgment? وَمَاذَا عَلَيْهِمْ لَوْ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ Whenever the word Allah you see the word Allah, okay, there is a kasra right before the word Allah. Try to read the word Allah with an A sound. Am I right? بِاللَّهِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ مِنْ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ These all are the examples for an A sound. Forward, what if we have not, we don't have a kasra, we have a fatha or a dhamma right before the word Allah. How do we pronounce the word Allah?
Heavily.
Heavily, with an A sound. Good job. Like what? Like?
لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ
عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ Okay, or for example, what?
وَأَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَهُمُ اللَّهُ
This way. Next one.
وَكَانَ اللَّهُ
So the pronunciation of the word Allah is different.
بِاللَّهِ اللَّهُ
Look, one is pronounced with an A sound, the other one is pronounced with an O sound. It matters, yes? When to pronounce it. The rule simply says, if there's a kasra before the word Allah, pronounce it with an A sound. If there's a fatha or a dhamma, pronounce it with an A sound. Very simple. Next important rule here is the letter Jim that tells you an important point about stopping, that you are allowed to stop or
continue.
Mashallah. Next ayah. Inna Allah, look, the word Allah is pronounced with a heavy sound.
La yadhlimu, yadhlimu.
Pronounce the law correctly.
Mithqala dharrah,
ra heavily. Qaf heavily. Mithqala dharrah. Sila tells you for what?
It's better to continue.
Better to continue. There is another sign just opposite to sila. Ali Nasir?
Qila.
Qila, right. It says it's better to continue. Stop, yes?
Yeah.
Sila tells you better to continue. Qila says better to stop.
Stop.
But, both of them tell you that you can continue.
Yeah.
Or you can stop.
Yeah.
وَإِن تَكُوا
نُن سَاكِن plus ta, you should hide the sound of نُن سَاكِن, right?
Yes.
وَإِن تَكُوا حَسَنَةً يُضَاعِفْهَا حَسَنَةً تَنْوِين plus ya. حَسَنَة
إِدْغَام.
إِدْغَام. حَسَنَة How do you read it? حَسَنَة
تَي.
تَي. Yes.
حَسَنَتَي. حَسَنَتَي يُضَاعِفْهَا
ضَاد is a heavy letter. ضَاعِفْهَا وَيُؤْتِي مِن لَدُنْهَا مِن لَدُنْهَا, right? You see the tashdeed on lam? مِن لَدُنْهَا. You skip noon, you merge it to lam. مِن لَدُنْهُ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. No changes to the tanween. أَجْرًا actually is pronounced with an echoing sound. So, ready to read these two ayah? Ayatain?
Yes.
بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Brothers and sisters, as you're listening, please practice with us. وماذا عليهم لو آمنوا بالله واليوم الآخر وأنفقوا مما رزقهم الله.
وَمَاذَا عَلَيْهِمْ لَوْ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَأَنْفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَهُمُ اللَّهِ.
أحسنتم. رَزَقَهُمُ اللَّهِ. It was a long ayah. That's why you were about to run out of breath, yes? No problem, mashallah. Practice, okay? وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِهِمْ عَلِيمًا.
وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِهِمْ عَلِيمًا.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ.
وَإِن تَكُ حَسَنَةً يُضَاعِفْهَا وَيُؤْتِ مِن لَّدُنْهُ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا.
وَإِن تَكُ حَسَنَةً يُضَاعِفْهَا وَيُؤْتِ مِن لَّدُنْهُ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
ما شاء الله. Allah bless you, inshallah. That's all for today. Brothers and sisters, stay with Arab English Radio, inshallah. Thank you so much, Fawad and Ali Nasir. Thanks for being with us today. Inshallah, we'll be here with you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International School.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور. آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به. هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen,
As-salamu alayka ya amin Allah fi ardi.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. This is To My Brother, and I'm your host, Mehdi. It's great to have all of you here, and today we want to talk about a character who not only influenced Muslims across the world, but influenced many non-Muslims as well. This great personality is the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him. Imam Ali alayhi salam was brought up under the care of the Holy Prophet Muhammad when he was just a small child. And so in this manner, the foundation of the moral and spiritual education of this magnificently intelligent child was based by the Prophet of Islam himself, the greatest educator of all mankind. Imam Ali's mental faculties were to an extent that he believed in the Holy Prophet and his mission at the tender age of 8. Therefore, Imam Ali, contrary to the other companions of the Holy Prophet, had never worshipped idols and never partook in the unreasonable demands, the oppressive actions, or the unjust acts of the Arab chieftains.
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the program's To My Brother, and we're discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So truly, what an honor it is to be speaking about the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam, a persona which one can speak for an eternity, but it seems like there are still things to say. Now, this is because Imam Ali alayhi salam, he was the living, breathing miracle of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, just as the Holy Quran was the silent, living, breathing miracle of the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household. Imam Ali alayhi salam, of course, the divinely appointed Imam, the divinely appointed successor to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings upon him, and also this source of wisdom and knowledge, who was the embodiment of the teachings of both the Holy Prophet and the Holy Quran. We find that Imam Ali alayhi salam, you know, he speaks about Muawiyah, and this was at a time when Imam Ali alayhi salam was the caliph of the Muslims, and Muawiyah had rebelled against Imam Ali alayhi salam, despite the commander of the believers being the rightful caliph of the Muslims. And so Muawiyah revolts, he rebels in audaciousness and arrogance against Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam. Now, this of course eventually ensues into a great war, which is the Battle of Siffin, and unfortunately many countless hundreds and thousands of Muslims were killed because of this rebellion that Muawiyah had done against the rightful caliph of the Muslims. And so here somebody said to Imam Ali alayhi salam, they said, you know, Amir al-Mu'mineen, O Commander of the Believers, you know, you're not very cunning when it comes to these matters. You see, Muawiyah, He is incredibly cunning. And so here it's really important for us to understand something, and this is the response of Imam Ali alayhi salam. His Eminence says that Muawiyah is not more cunning than I am. Matter of fact, if I wanted, I would be the most cunning of all the Arabs, and no Arab would have been able to be more cunning than I am. But I abide by the laws and the commandments of Allah, and Muawiyah does not. And so this is something that's really important in our lives, is that there are times and situations in our lives where we can be cunning, we can be shrewd, and not in the positive sense. For example, a mu'min is always clever. This is another one of the statements of Imam Ali alayhi salam. A mu'min is clever, smart, intelligent, right? But not necessarily cunning. Cunning and shrewdness, they have negative connotations to them. And that's because they are outside of the bounds of the rules and regulations that Allah the Almighty has put upon people. And so being cunning, like Muawiyah, is to break the rules of Allah. But to be clever, like Imam Ali alayhi salam, is to work within the confines of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, for example, to remain truthful, or to remain honest, or to not break the commandments of Allah. A very beautiful and profound lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام: أقيلوا ذوي المروءات عثراتهم، فما يعثر منهم عاثر إلا ويد الله بيده يرفعه.
Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "Forgive the shortcomings of considerate people, because when they fall into error, Allah raises them up."
Now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
And so when we talk about this issue of Hadith Saqalain, where the Prophet says, "I am leaving two things behind, the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt," you cannot separate one from the other. Ali was with the Quran and Quran is with Ali. Just one more example about it. When Surah Bara'at was revealed, the ninth surah of the Quran, one of the last ones to be revealed, the earlier ayat which came, not the whole surah was revealed together in peace form, but the earlier ayat which came, which was the ultimate and given to the mushrikeen of Makkah after the conquest of Makkah, where they were given 4 months grace time to think about Islam. Islam will not be forced on them. And if they agree, that's fine. Otherwise, after 4 months, they have to vacate Makkah, because Makkah is now a sanctuary for Muslims. So all this Taliban and ISIS, who think you spread Islam by sword only, this is against the Sunnah of Rasulullah. He's giving 4 months grace period for them to think about it, study about it, question about it. And so when those ayat came as a declaration against the mushrikeen in Makkah, Rasulullah decided, according to the norm those days, to choose an elderly companion of Rasulullah and asked him to take that to Mecca, and this was Abu Bakr. Take this and declare this to the mushrikeen of Mecca. While he left Medina, traveling towards Mecca, Jibreel comes down. And this is in our books as well as Sunni books. Jibreel comes down. And he says, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you the message.
that the bara'at that you have to declare to the mushrikeen, either you do it yourself or rajulun minka. Either go and announce that only yourself or somebody who is from you. Min niyyat. Remember, even in this khutbah we recited yesterday, where the Prophet says, Anta ka nafsi, you are like my soul. You are from me, I am from you. This is one occasion. He calls then Ali. And it's interesting, Jibreel didn't say who. The message was only, you go yourself or send somebody minka, who is from you. And Ali called Ali, Rasulullah called Ali. He says, go with a fast horse until you reach Abu Bakr. Take the ayat from him and go and declare that in Mecca. Of course, Abu Bakr would be kind of disappointed. He came back. He says, Rasulullah, what happened? Did Allah say something wrong about me? And Rasulullah said, no, nothing. Nothing personal. The command was, either I go myself, aw rajulun minka, or somebody from you. And when I looked around, there is nobody closer to me other than Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam.
At this moment, we invite you to listen to parts of the Arabic text of Ziyarat Aminullah along with its English translations. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma fastajib du'ayi واقبل ثنائي واجمع بيني وبين أوليائي بحق محمد.
O Allah, give favorable answer to my prayer. Acknowledge the praise I sign in worship. Let there be peace and harmony between me and my friends for the sake of Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Al-Hassan and Al-Hussein. Verily, thou art my benefactor who provides with bounties, the aim of my desires, the ultimate destination of my hopes in my future life and during this short life. Thou art my God, my Master and my Lord. Welcome my friends, keep our enemies away from us. To save us from the evil mischief, divert their attention. Let the true world come out in the open, supreme and dominant. Refute and condemn the fully, rendered contemptible. Verily, thou art able to do all things.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
Limelight. Operation True Promise paralyzed the integrated capabilities of the U.S. and the Zionist entity in the field of electronic warfare and is undeniable proof of the ingenuity in tactical design of Iranian defense industry experts. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Kahan International wrote, "The so-called Iron Dome turned into a tattered tin shed as Iranian drones and missiles scored a strategic victory over U.S. technology to zero in on vital military targets in the heart of the usurped land of Palestine by piercing with precision the multi-layered defense systems set up by U.S.-Israeli planners from the occupied parts of Iraq and Syria and throughout Jordan for protection of the illegal Zionist entity." Operation True Promise, launched in the early hours of Sunday, April 14th, was part of the vengeance vowed by the Islamic Republic as punishment for the Zionist violation of the diplomatic immunity of the Iranian consulate in Syria on April 1st that led to the martyrdom of 7 Iranian citizens. The murderous entity, ruled by a criminal clique of non-Semitic East European claimants to Judaism, is flabbergasted at Iran's powerful reach, although, as usual, it pretends to have intercepted most of the projectiles and that only minor damage was inflicted with a few persons injured, but no one killed. This is nothing except sheer hypocrisy for the cowardly killers of over 33,000 civilians in Gaza over the past 6 months who survive on American support and whose only pastime is raining death and destruction on others, when the fact of the matter is that Iran's retaliation was not designed to indiscriminately kill the innocent, but to destroy Israel's arteries of atrocities. This is fully evident by at least 7 of Iran's hypersonic missiles striking the Nevatim Air Base in the Negev Desert that houses the supposedly stealth U.S.-supplied F-35 fighter planes and putting it completely out of use so that the people of Gaza could be relieved for the first time of the daily bombing that kills hundreds of them and destroys their infrastructure every passing day. This particular strike was similar to the January 2020 barrage of Iranian missiles on the Al-Assad airbase of the U.S. in Iraq in retaliation for the unmanly murder of General Qasem Soleimani that was turned into a mess with no one killed but over 100 American occupation forces inflicted with brain injuries. In the words of Scott Ritter, a former U.N. weapons inspector, who hailed Iran's response and confirmed the striking at the Nevatim Air Base, "Israel is defenseless against Iran's weaponry." It confirms the fact that Iran's rapidly advancing drones and missiles clearly outsmart the various U.S.-manufactured aircraft, including the F-15, F-16, F-35, and refuelers that form the backbone of the Zionist regime's unbridled terrorism in Gaza, Lebanon, and Syria. In other words, Operation True Promise paralyzed the integrated capabilities of the U.S. and the Zionist regime in the field of electronic warfare, and is undeniable proof of the ingenuity in tactical design of Iranian defense industry experts. All said and done, it was a warning to the enemy that any foolish move now will lead to a swift